The World This Week. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The emphasis for the United States this week was on its Atlantic ties, with the President and his Secretary of State meeting with NATO representatives in Brussels and with Spanish officials in Madrid before going on to Salzburg this morning to begin a review of the Middle East. White House correspondent Phil Jones, accompanying the President, reports on the objectives and findings so far.
The President came to Europe this week with the idea that he had to convince America's allies in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization that the U.S. still had the will to stand by defense commitments even after the Vietnam nightmare. He found that reassurance wasn't necessary. The President carefully and indirectly criticized France and Greece for what he called partial participation in NATO. But the final communique from the summer NATO meetings did not follow up on the American President's criticism. The President's Secretary of State warned that a communist government in Portugal would be incompatible with the NATO organization, which was established 26 years ago to fight the spread of communism in Europe. In the end, there was not much more than talk. Nothing had been done to change the effectiveness of NATO, but Mr. Ford said he found the tone and content of all his meetings, NATO and bilateral, encouraging. Then on to Spain, where the announced intention was to help ease tensions that are building against air and navy facilities on Spanish territory. But the President and Spanish leaders avoided direct negotiations on extending the base leases, which expire this fall. Although the President went to Brussels and Spain to talk about Europe, he found that most of the European leaders were as anxious about the Mideast as they were NATO and American relations. The overall impression President Ford received was that economic, political, and defense conditions are a little shaky in Europe, but without a settlement of the Mideast, things will get a lot worse.
President Ford himself in Brussels indicated a sense of urgency in getting the Middle East negotiations off of dead center.
We did reemphasize that our objective in the Middle East was peace, that we could not tolerate stagnation or a stalemate. We felt that movement was essential in the recommendations that I do make. Sometime the latter part of June, early July, will be a position of movement aimed at the objective of a secure peace in the Middle East.
Egypt's President Sadat, on his way to Salzburg, said he was going there with an open mind and an open heart, but convinced that progress toward a settlement must be made at the talks today and tomorrow.
It is a very important meeting in such a very crucial moment. I shall be very eager to know what the result of the reassessment of the American policy in the area is. And a lot of things.
Then there is the other Middle East problem, that ticklish situation in Lebanon, something of an offshoot from the main Arab-Israeli conflict. Don Webster explains in this report from Beirut.
The conflict in the government is in many ways Christian versus Muslim, but that's an oversimplification. Perhaps half the country is ethnic Lebanese, Christian, not Arabs, and many of those people regard the Palestinian commandos who base themselves here as intruders. But the Muslim sects of the country, and of course the Palestinians themselves, want Lebanon to become more deeply involved in the Middle East conflict, and that is the problem. In the middle of the week, it looked like the fighting might be over. A new prime minister was appointed. But in the past 24 hours or so, the crisis has heated up again. Kidnappings, bomb explosions, and people generally staying home rather than taking the risk of venturing out. At the moment, the critical question concerns the makeup of the cabinet the new prime minister will appoint, whether it will include the Falangists, a party that wishes the Palestinians would simply leave. It may be a few more days before the names of the new cabinet ministers are appointed. But when it happens, one political faction or another may well be unhappy, and still more trouble may occur.
There was a start, at least this week, toward a settlement of another long smoldering Mediterranean dispute, the conflict between Turkish and Greek residents of the island of Cyprus. For the first time since 1967, the premiers of Turkey and Greece met to review that situation and were even pictured smiling and shaking hands. Greek Premier Karamanlis said the fact of the meeting itself is progress to the extent that it helps to reduce tensions. In the background of this week's NATO meeting were nagging doubts about the future stability of one of the NATO partners, Portugal, now that Portuguese communists are taking an active, if not dominant, role in the government. Canada's Premier Trudeau met privately with the Portuguese Prime Minister to explore the situation.
I was reassured. I was reassured also by what he told me in our private meeting yesterday. It seemed quite clear that they had no intention of having any agonizing reappraisal of NATO and their adherence to thereto. If anything, I was a bit surprised at the candor and directness with which he made that quite clear.
The matter of international economics was also under intensive review this week in Paris, where Secretary Kissinger met with oil-consuming nations and asked oil producers to join in setting up a major economic aid program for the poor countries caught between the energy crisis and global recession.
They now bear a double burden of higher prices for imported energy, food, fertilizer, and industrial goods, and of reduced export earnings due to worldwide recession. We therefore support the creation by 1976 of a special trust fund of up to $2 billion under the IMF.
As for the U.S. economy, President Ford this week added another dollar tariff on imported oil. It'll mean a rise in the retail price of gasoline of about a penny and a half a gallon. And the country's leading economic indicators showed a significant jump, up 4% in the month of April. A strong indication that the recession, if it hasn't ended, is at least bottoming out, with promising prospects for the months ahead. Treasury Secretary Simon, at that economic meeting in Paris, was heartened by the change.
I'm happy to say that from all indications, the U.S. economy is now at or past the bottom of its recession. Consumers have gained some confidence from the sharp reduction in inflation rates, although the inflation threat has by no means been eliminated.
And there's the problem of high unemployment. More than 140 major American cities now have unemployment rates of higher than 6%, many of them a good deal higher. The national figure is close to 9%. Most of the country's major metropolitan areas are having their own budgetary problems, with more than a few struggling simply to avoid bankruptcy. The plight of the so-called Big Apple, New York City, only emphasizes this. The city's mayor, Abe Beame, this week announced plans to cut from city payrolls more people than many towns have in their entire populations.
Because I have no recourse at this point, I have ordered the Office of Management and Budget and the Department of Personnel to detail for me as soon as possible the awesome schedule to eliminate 38,000 jobs by June 30th. This is in addition to the 3,000 layoffs that are now being processed in accordance with the austerity level budget and the 10,800 other jobs in non-mayoral agencies still to be eliminated.
And even when those additional jobs are eliminated, New York City's budget will still be in the red. The World This Week has been produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.